Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
Hello, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
And we have a man to lay some knowledge on us, Kim Bassine, our own, to talk about Nike. And let's just put it bluntly. Kim, I'm sure a lot of people at Nike are saying, what in the hell just happened? Because the stock has gone down, and it's gone down the most in about 20 years. Why?
Yeah, it's a problem. All right, so there's a huge pile of inventory facing Nike right now. That's their biggest issue, especially in North America. So inventory was up 65% in the quarter in North America, with overall up 44%. These are enormous jumps, and that means they'll have to discount merchandise in order to get rid of all of that unsold stuff, which seems to be mostly apparel. So Wall Street's now worried about margins, right? So too much inventory means you got to get rid of it. How do you do that? Sales, promotions, discounts, clearances, whatever you want to call them. That's what's going
to
happen.
And things that don't help the brand, because then people get used to seeing discounted Nike wear or Nike shirts or anything else. What happened here? Did Nike just miscalculate, or did the overall economic environment change so quickly on Nike that it was caught by surprise?
Not just so quickly, but for so many changes happened for several years now. So this all goes back to 2020. There were factory shutdowns in Vietnam due to COVID. During that time, like, shipping costs were rising, shipping time was rising. There were container shortages, port congestion, labor issues.
Oh, and the list goes on.
And on and on and on. This happened for years, right? So everyone was rushing to get as much inventory as possible through all these log jams. But lately, demand softened a little bit in various places, including North America. But issues in China piled up too. Yeah. With the zero COVID lockdowns led to less sales there. And, you know, with all these moving parts, sometimes you just miscalculate.
You know, I'm curious, you know, I mean, didn't the market see this coming? I mean, I know the Nike website had been selling, you know, like, for example, the Nike Kyrie 8s, you know, Kyrie Irving's signature shoe, which came out over the summer. They're going for less on the Nike website than they are retail. I'm just curious, did anyone really kind of see this coming, or is this kind of new news?
I do think so, but executives have chosen to just fully rip the Band-Aid off right now instead of letting this problem settle and linger for years, maybe. They said in the coming months that they'll be aggressively marking down that excess inventory, especially in North America, in the U.S., to get rid of this out of season, like old season product that is not necessarily as desirable anymore because it's been stuck in transit for 4 months, and replace that old product with new stuff.
In other words, shoes that I'd buy. You know,
we're talking about Velcro sneakers, and Michael Barr's a fan of Velcro sneakers.
Yeah, we're talking about the Kyries here. I mean, the Kyries are going for less. They just came out. I mean, I wonder if that has anything to do with Kyrie's position on COVID. But nevertheless, I mean, it's still pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, Kyrie's contract's coming up too next year. We'll see what if Nike decides to bring him back and his shoe line.
Well, this is a weird situation, and you mentioned it earlier. Ordinarily, we'd be talking about supply issues. It's like, oh, how can I get this? How can I get that? All of a sudden, Nike and Damian, you guys sent it. It's like, well, how didn't you see this problem when you have a super surplus of supply that this wasn't going to happen?
I mean, demand also doesn't seem to be the issue here. Like, in fact, the performance in their home market of North America has been propping up the whole business despite all these logistic issues, weakness in China. Like, Nike's still cool, marketing's still strong. You see people lining up for sneaker drops. The CEO, John Donahoe, his new strategy has been to cut wholesale partners in favor of Nike's own D2C channels. And that means trying to successfully move shoppers over from the old sneaker stores in the mall to Nike's own shops. And this seems to be working here. All of that seems to be working. It's just a heavy miscalculation that's happened here.
What is Nike doing right when it comes to its long-term strategy? Obviously, it's got these incredible partnerships with athletes. I think about the Michael Jordan collaboration from the 80s and how it, I mean, no one has been able to do that in quite the same way that Nike did. How's it doing in those aspects?
They've created enormous franchises that are not just like the Nike swoosh brand, and that is very difficult to do. Jordan's the best example of that. It's been around for decades now, and is still relevant even though Michael Jordan retired so long ago. Mm-hmm. We have LeBron is the face of Nike now that MJ is long gone, and they've created a whole franchise around him as well. The LeBron shoes are one of the main franchises for Nike. The way that they've been able to create brands within this already the largest sportswear brand in the world has been remarkable, and it seems to still be working. They're looking for more. They're always looking for the next huge franchise, like billion-dollar thing that'll work for Nike.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Well, we know Nike's a global company, right? And their sales come from abroad. I mean, I'm curious what your thoughts are. What's the contribution to weaker foreign currencies, stronger dollars? I mean, how much of this is due to, you know, King Dollar and, you know, the fact that all these other currencies are declining? And so sales, you know, abroad are declining as well.
Yeah, and they seem to have adjusted for that in their guidance here. They recognize that this is going to be a problem across the world. And as like you said, as a global company, these Nike's are sold everywhere, and the problem now in apparel with all this stuff is just gonna get worse unless they do something about it right now.
Your beat is celebrity and athlete business deals, and one story that's, if you don't mind me asking, that's in the news right now: Kim Kardashian. She's going to have to pay $1.3 million because she got paid $250,000 for trying to tout the Bitcoin type on her website. And the SEC has clearly said you cannot do that and not reveal that you're getting paid for it.
I've covered a lot of crypto celebrity deals over the past year and a half, and it has been something that really they spent so much money. These crypto firms on celebrities and these kinds of like sports endorsements, celebrity endorsements, it's in the billions that they've promised to everybody. And the marketing surge that we saw is essentially unprecedented. Like no industry has come out of nowhere to pay so many people so much money in such a small amount of time to sell something.
Well, where did Emacs have this money? That's where I want to know.
Yeah, unclear about that.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm sure.
I guess if you're going to call crypto first, I'd say sportsbooks are second, right? DraftKings and FanDuel are paying athletes an awful lot of money or actors to market their services. So, you know, I wouldn't put them in a box. But, you know, you're absolutely right. What happened with Kim Kardashian, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. And it was her social account. It wasn't even her website, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, all she did was tweet
Instagram.
Something out.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It
amazing.
Was Instagram, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
And of course, as part of the settlement, she does not admit or deny the SEC's allegations. She just pays the $1.3 million. Do you think we're going to see a lot more of these coming up?
Probably. And just because there were so many deals happening with so many companies that we don't know a whole lot about, that it seems inevitable.
Yeah, and $1 million doesn't seem like a whole hell of a lot of money to Kim Kardashian and some of the others who are out there, but who am I to say?
Well, we should also mention the SEC in the past fined Floyd Mayweather and DJ Khaled for failing to disclose payments that they received for essentially hyping these various crypto assets.
Just put that little hashtag ad in the corner of your
That's
Instagram.
All you need to do?
A few things, like ads on the FTC has also been on this for the past several years as social advertising got bigger and bigger and bigger. Things that are ads need to be shown as this is an ad.
But, you know, the hashtags, they're usually longer than the than the posting itself, right? So like if you just hide the hashtag, there's
400
ad in
hashtags
there,
down there, yeah. One of them just says this is an ad. Oh, whoa.
No one's gonna read it.
No, they're not.
Don't read the fine hash and all that stuff. No, you don't need that. Before we let you go, this story came out last week, and we talk about celebrities and sports athletes, and today's sports athlete, especially the rich ones like LeBron, they are very savvy. And when I read that LeBron's going to invest in a pickleball team, I'm like, wow, okay. And I never knew pickleball was this hot until you guys educated me on this about pickleball.
I still don't understand what the game involves.
It involves a pickle. No, I'm kidding.
Kim, have you played pickleball?
It's like small tennis.
Yeah.
Small tennis.
Yeah, Michael's lying. He has knee pads. He has the goggles. He's got his own pickleball racket. I could see it all happening right here. The high white socks over the halfway through the calves. I could see it.
Yeah, that it gives me that look. But the thing that I'm impressed about is pickleball. This is a pro team. And LeBron is trying to think ahead. It's like, hey, I want to be on this.
These up and coming sports have really been helped by the pandemic. So when there was no sports going on in 2020, we suddenly saw, ESPN 8, the Ocho, putting on weird sports like marble racing.
Oh, yeah, man. I was watching that.
Oh, yeah. With the commentary, it's so good. But other things, tech ball, have you heard of that? It's like curved ping pong. It's like a curved ping pong table that you play soccer on. So you try to hit the soccer ball back to the other side. You get three hits like in volleyball. They're trying to expand here. World Chase Tag is on TV. It's like on ESPN now. It's
cornhole,
professional tag with parkour
ball.
Guys.
It's on the You're It Network. What is it?
Yes. My mouth is just open here as we sit here and talk about these various quote-unquote sports.
I remember when we went through that, when we were going through all of the stuff with, COVID-19, all of a sudden the esports blew up because we were watching esports, man. It
esports
was like,
is so conventional compared to what we were just describing.
I know, man.
Esports is old now.
I know, man. I feel so geezery now. Kim Bassine, our own Bloomberg, Kim Bassine, dropping some knowledge on us about Nike and many other topics. Kim, thank you so much for joining us right here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We appreciate it. This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
And I'm on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
And I'm on Twitter at DSassHour.
You know what? Our podcast, they go over every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and you can download them wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.